Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, and firing your shots around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we've got a great show coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, the Charlie Wilson Agency, AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Daphne's Hottest Place for Chow, the Waterfront Restaurant at No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Medicare Lady, Ms. Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we want to thank all our sponsors, and you are our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you've heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion on Facebook, or you can always give us a shout on air, 343-0106. And you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. Coming up later on SBN, we'll be joined by one of our lawyers from Gardberg and Kimberly, Mr. Nathan Glenn. He will get us up to speed on the legal issues facing our veterans. We'll also speak with Dr. Tanya Butler and William Stitt from Bill Ease over in Fairhope about their Bacon Burgers and Bikes event. Say that one three times fast.
Yeah, just say that trail. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good, though. And, of course, Tom's Tirade on You Heard It Here First. You don't want to miss it. But first, it's always a pleasure to be joined on SBN by Mr. Ray Stiles with AFS Foundation Waterproofing. Ray, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for all that you do for our veterans.
Hey, I really do appreciate coming back again. It gives me an opportunity to be able to share with the veterans what we actually do and how we are able to take care not only just the veterans, but everybody else as well.
Ray, I think at this time, and especially with all of this extraordinary weather that we're having, you guys ought to be extremely busy because I think everything is washing, everything's flooding, and I would think that a lot of stuff is moving and settling, we wouldn't normally see.
You're exactly right, and unfortunately, you get to figure out when something's happening when we have a constant deluge of rain and water and everywhere, and that's when we get to figure out what's going on in the Gulf Coast. You get to see what's happening as far as how our soil. We're fortunate to live where we do because we have rain and we have water. We're not like the folks out in New Mexico and Arizona where their ground is dry almost year-round, and their wood literally dry rots. Where with us, we're the exact opposite. Our wood gets so soaked, and it gets so saturated with not only the rainwater, but the vapor coming back up from the ground.
Yeah, but the other thing that we have to consider, too, is if you're talking about those Western states like that, that ground is hard out there. It's clay.
Yep.
We have a sandy soil here on the coast.
Yes.
And whether it be in the Pensacola area here in Mobile area or as you guys working over in the Biloxi and Gulfport area, we've got more of a problem because when we start getting all this saturation of rain, then it's going to saturate that ground and soften it up so that it doesn't have the stability that it had or has when we build on dry land.
Correct. And when a home is built, whether it be on slab or whether it be on piers, the downside to it is man will disturb the soil that's been there with tractors or whatever, and then they pour the slab. Typically, they're supposed to compact it to X amount of pressure. Excuse me. And when they compact it, then they put the slab on that, or they put the piers in and build the house on the piers. Well, the downside to that is that we've disturbed the soil.
Mm-hmm.
Water takes the path of least resistance.
Sure.
And when it does that, it then starts to run and form. And over the years of it sitting there, it helps to either wash away underneath the slab or it washes away underneath the pier and it starts to cause the column to sink or the slab to sink or get washed out. Or in some cases, it will actually snap.
Well, I've actually seen some occasions here recently where in the past, buildings that have been there for, 30, 40, 50 years, but then we've had so much saturation of rain, the ground is just like a sponge.
Yes.
And things are moving now and where they're starting to see cracks in the walls and things of that nature in concrete slabs, driveways, are moving that haven't moved in 20, 30 years, 50 years even.
Exactly, because now the soil, like you just said, can only absorb so much. Think about the fact that our groundwater, our water table is really shallow. And then when you put in all the rain we've been having, well, that water table is now closer.
Sure it is.
And water will have to evaporate. When it's out from underneath the building,
right.
the sun, God's drying it up that's outside. But when it gets underneath the house, unfortunately, it's inside of a shaded area.
Right.
And that water vapor just is there, and the wood is absorbing it under our house, and it's going to cause it to sag. And eventually, organic growth can happen, and it causes problems in the long run when you're starting to talk about things that can attach to wood and actually eat the wood. People think it's just bugs like termites that eat wood. Oh, no. Organic material likes to live on it because you're feeding it with the wood that's now wet.
Right.
And it has the perfect environment for it to grow in the dark.
Well, here on the coast, we have a situation where that a lot of people don't have. It's because we build so many facilities, and we have to, in a lot of occasions, build on piers, build on pilings. And as long as that wood is below and stays under the water where the oxygen can't get to it,
right,
then it doesn't deteriorate. But now once oxygen can get to that wood that is soaked, it starts deteriorating and rotting, and it will do it in a short period of time.
Exactly. When you get water or wood saturated for as long as it will just stay there in the ground,
right,
and then it's eventually the upper half of it's exposed and it's just wicking the water up into it, it will typically rot it out even above the ground, not just what's in the ground. And that's what people get shocked about, is trying to figure out what's happening.
Well, you guys are trained and have all the facilities and the manpower and the technology to compensate for this and to bring those back to standards.
Yes. We're a groundworks company. AFS is a groundworks company. So we're in 43 states. We have over 5,500 employees. We're not going anywhere. And our job is to come out and to inspect your home, to look it over and help figure out a solution and show you what our solution will be. And we'll give you an education with it. So that way, when we come out to do an inspection, we're your eyes and ears getting underneath the house.
Well, are you guys pretty easy to get in touch with?
Oh, yes. You can go to afsrepair.com. AFSrepair.com. That's Alpha Foxtrot Sierra Repair.com for all of my military guys out there.
Right.
And then at the same time, you can call me at 251-402-9219. Again, that's 251-402-9219. And that way you can reach out to me and we can get us an appointment set up and we can come take a look at it. The inspection's free. It's right, worth finding right. out.
Well, another thing, too, guys and gals that are listening to us out there tonight, I've known this gentleman for quite a few years. I recommend him. I know that he's honest, and I also know that he's certified in the industry that he's in. He's very knowledgeable, and he'll treat you right and do you a good job. So if you've got these problems and you're really worried about it, try to get it before it gets too heavy, it gets too bad.
100%.
And you'll find that you'll save a lot of money there by doing so.
Exactly, because if we wait too long, the downside to it is it's going to cost more to fix in the future.
Amen.
Because it doesn't fix itself.
Phone number again.
251-402-9219.
What a blessing. Glad to have you had
Thank you
on tonight. You're very informative, and we appreciate you working with us to help support our veterans here on the Gulf Coast.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
And as always, you can visit scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Dr. Tanya Butler and Bill E. Steele will be with us.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on the FM Talk 106.5 app. Podcast-wise, and Tom Styrite is up on CastBox.fm, it is now a pleasure to be joined on SVN by the doc out of the box, Dr. Tanya Butler, and Mr. William Smith from Bill E's over in Fairhope. Thank you guys for joining us, and Tanya, welcome back to SVN, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you, Cal. I couldn't miss out being with my two favorite Marines.
Oh, ho, ho, my head is swelling. But hey, we have asked you to come on with our guest here tonight, Mr. Billy Stitt. How do you pronounce that? You know how to do it. What's his last name? Stitt?
Stitt.
Stitt. All right.
With this T silent.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Not in the South.
But this gentleman happens to own that fabulous Bill E's Bacon Company over in the Daphne area, and I had the pleasure of going over the other day and eat some of that fine chow. And got a tour of the bacon producing plant. I'm still kind of blown away with that. And
it's pretty impressive.
Well, it's I was impressed with the fact that it's not a event where he can take a piece of meat and produce the bacon and within 24 hours or something. He's got that into an 8 or 9 day process, just in marinating all of that meat and that bacon to make it. So that he gets the taste that he's getting from his bacon.
It's the best of the best. I mean, you can travel the world and you will never taste anything like this.
And I was surprised at his area that he's selling all of that product to. So that's neat. And the stores that he's in, that gives him clout. Whether he knows it or not, he's got clout.
But what your head's really, swelling yet?
What we really want to do is bring him on. We're so proud to have him on board with us tonight and really impressed with this his facility over there. But the other thing, this being a veteran show, this gentleman, to me, from what I have been able to see, steps out so fast and so forward to do anything that he can to be beneficial to our vets and the things that we're doing. And Tanya's the public relations officer for Post 199 over there in the Fairhope area. And Tanya, give us a little insight on what this guy has done for you and what he tries to do for all the veterans organizations.
So let me tell you, the first Wednesday of every night of every month is bike night. And you see combat veterans organization, you see the American Legion Riders. He is the top supporter of every veteran in this community and anywhere in Baldwin County and Mobile County. He's the first one to reach out and do anything for us. I'm going to let him elaborate, but I'm going to tell you that one of the things that impressed me the most is that he told us, if it's us, if we have a friend or anything, we're riding in the rain, we get caught up, there is a bunkhouse for us to stay in. There is a place where we can do repairs for our bikes. We've got a safe space to stop if we need to.
That's
and this,
a blessing.
This is a home for bikers. And, you know, just for a man to have, you know, this kind of heart and reach out to all these veterans, we know that, you know, it, not being a veteran and having somebody in the community who just looks out for us and has our back and, you know, as
oh,
we say,
so
has
much.
Our six, you know, that right there says a lot. I mean, he has a heart for us and, you know, and we want to support him in every way because it's not everybody in the community who responds
way.
This
sure,
way and
sure.
feels this way towards veterans.
That is so true. But, you know, you guys with the Legion have sons of Legions, riders.
We do.
So you might as well tag him, you know.
Oh.
You know, he comes from a veteran's family.
Oh, we've already got plans for him. He doesn't even know.
Oh, I'm talking out of school.
You are talking out of school. We've got some plans for him in the future. But I'll tell you, you know, we just recently had an event there last Wednesday that, you know, we raised some money for our building fund with the American Legion. He's a huge supporter. We had an event tonight. With, you know, in combination with Gentiva, that we were picking up miscellaneous stuff for needy veterans and homeless veterans to prepare for the holidays. So, you know, we had a drop-off site tonight. We raised some money so that, because last year, you know, we had several homeless veterans that came
sure.
to us. We couldn't find housing for them. Housing was full. We needed to meet some needs. So tonight he hosted an event with Gentiva, and we picked up a whole bunch of supplies and
good.
Needs.
Good.
And then on Saturday, there will be a drop-off at the American Legion from 9 to 11. Of, you know, more necessity items to
okay.
make sure that we take care of veterans.
Well, that's awesome. Now, can then,
yeah.
Do you feel like that you might, after all of that glory road, do you feel like talking to us a little bit, Billy?
Sure. I'm honored to be here. This is a big honor. And to sit amongst you guys, and, you know, all the stuff y'all have done for our country. And I just make bacon and burgers. That's all I can say.
And you make some dad burn good ones too, buddy. That in that bacon, you know, if they want Billy's bacon, they can find it in so many different places around the Mobile and Gulf Coast area here.
That's right. We're in a lot of stores, a lot of restaurants, a lot of event centers, convention centers, and hotels, and still trying to grow this little company.
Well, you know, you're just a country boy trying to make a living.
That's right.
You know,
one pound at a time.
Right. 1 pound of bacon at a time.
That's right.
But that's kind of where I'm at, you know, and just a country boy trying to make a living. So that's where we just have to do what we come up with at the best of our ability. And then whatever we do, we want it to be the best. And you've reached that.
Right.
You reached that area. So I was really impressed with your facility. And I'm really impressed with all that you're doing for our veterans. And it's just unbelievable. I know that Cal, you've had a chance to participate with this gentleman in his facility as well, haven't you?
Yes, actually, I did a couple of seminars, and he's got a fantastic meeting area over there. And I was able to go and enjoy the food. I got the bacon burger because I read about all of the great things that he's done. He's got a little bit of a historical area over in that meeting room. And so really, really appreciated him having us there.
Well, it's just awesome, man. Billy, we appreciate you. We appreciate what you're doing for our veterans. I know you've volunteered when I brought it to your attention about the veterans having Veterans Car Show here. And, you know, in September the 13th over at the Battleship, And you say, I've got some stuff I want to, you know, let me give y'all some stuff to give away and all. And that's neat, you know. But and just from, and I guess this is a glory day for Billy. But I've just been impressed with the people that I've met and encouraged different events with that talk about him and what he's doing over there and how much he's helped Post 199 and work with Tanya. You know, Tanya's our Veteran of the Year for Fairhope this year. So, you know, we got to pin all those roses on here. This is a veteran lady, too, the doc out of the box, you know. She's got quite a few years in the Army there. I don't know how many rifles she shot, but I think she stirred up some noise. Yeah, but we're so proud to have her in the area. She's also an awesome doctor. That is Dr. Out of the Box fellow. So, but Brian, yeah, woo, hello.
But hi there.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, Philip. Yeah, but is there an area that you'd like to talk about here? Would you don't?
Well, definitely. So we're doing these events the first Wednesday of every month. They're called Billy's Bacon Burgers and Bikes. It's all the things that I love, and I think many of you love also. And it's not about having to make it there on two wheels, but if you can, that's really big, weather depending. But we want folks of all ages to come and see interesting motorcycles and have a great burger with some bacon on it and to fellowship.
Right.
And our meeting space is designed for small groups, medium-sized groups, large groups. And as you said, you know, we've got this great little place. If you're traveling east, west, north, or south, and you need a place to tuck your bike away, we've got a great place to get out of the weather.
Well, let me bring this forth, too. This is not just a place for bikers. Right. He has made that available to the bikers. Because and you find that most of these guys are veterans, and they do so many veterans charities and events. They just need somewhere to go and have these events, and he's provided that. But I wasn't on two wheels when I went over there, you know. Right. And he's got a nice big parking lot, plenty of room. It's casual, you know. If you want to go in there with flip flops or, you know, I guess he'd let you in barefoot as long
as
you got
cash. That's
exactly right. As long as you got cash, American.
I tell everybody if a possum walks across your feet, we might charge extra.
Yeah, there you go. But they have it's a very awesome place, and it's unique. It's out under a group of trees there. It's going south on 181, across what, close to Walmart?
Just past Walmart.
All right. Blessed to have you guys on board, Tanya. As usual, Doc Out of the Box doing a great job. Billy, glad to have you on board.
So glad to be here.
And you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, our sea lawyer, Nathan Gwynn, with Gardenburg and Kimberly, when we return.
Zooming to me, the thunder, Adam boys, give her the gun. Now we die, stunning a flame. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing your shots heard around the world on ScuttlebuttNetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today.
And we want to thank the fine folks that helped make this show possible, the battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, Alabama Pipe and Supply, our sea lawyer, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardenburg and Kimberly, and one of our newest sponsors, AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialist, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's newest eatery, the Waterfront Restaurant at Number 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And it's always a privilege to be joined on SBN by one of our sea lawyers from the law firm of Gardenburg and Kimberly, Mr. Nathan Gwynn. Nathan, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Hope you all are doing well.
Man, it's a pleasure to have you back on again, Nathan. I know that you've got some interesting information for us there. How about getting it started for us?
Yeah, for sure. There's one case I wanted to talk about in particular tonight that's kind of interesting as it relates to obesity as a disability. So if y'all are interested, for sure. In the past, as it relates to obesity, they've said that it's not a disabling disorder. And so that's been limiting as far as being able to be service-connected for that, or kind of having that be related to any service-connected disorders. And then the law changed at some point, years back, where you could use it as what they called an intermediary step between two issues. So, for example, if you had diabetes and that limited your physical activity and it caused you to gain weight, and then you developed another medical disorder because of that weight gain, then you could get it linked that way, right? Well, now there's a new case that's come out that basically says that obesity is just as much a disabling disorder as anything else, because VA benefits are supposed to reflect the impairment of earnings for a particular veteran based on their disabilities. And so at this point now, you can get it essentially secondary, instead of it being kind of a go-between or like a middleman between one disability and another. It can be kind of its own secondary. That's been a helpful development.
Man, that is just unbelievable that would move forward at this time. I know that you've probably had a lot of cases that could have been filed if this interpretation had been there.
Yeah, it'll definitely change a lot. I mean, I think there's certainly going to be a lot more claims that are viable that are related to weight gain and obesity in general. I mean, obviously that's the term used. So I think it'll be good. It'll definitely open up options a little bit more. And I think it's kind of helpful because, I mean, that's going to end up, you're supposed to be getting, service connected or evaluated based on your symptoms and things that are connected to one another. And so I think this goes more in line with what the VA disability benefits are supposed to look like. I think it just makes things more consistent with kind of what the rest of the secondary service connection kind of stuff looks like in practice. And so I'm glad that they did it. And yeah, it should help, I think, veterans overall. Anything where it's going to broaden the ability to get benefits, I'm certainly all for. So this is one of those things where they're not limiting, they're expanding. And so we're always happy about that.
Yes. So does that kind of open Pandora's box for a lot of our veterans that weren't able to file for any of the other problems that they may have?
I think it's going to be more, it's going to be kind of more relatable to, it may not necessarily like new claims. I would say veterans that are already service connected for certain disorders, or even like if you're still claiming service connection for disorders that are limiting your mobility that could cause a weight gain, right, and have that be secondary.
Right.
So I think it would be particularly relevant to those people who are already service connected, and if you're already pursuing those types of claims, it may be something else to add on.
Yeah.
Or just to put in as a secondary claim, because obviously I haven't seen it in practice yet. I don't think it'll work the way when you have like a lumbar disorder and you have radiculopathy of your legs, they'll just kind of add that on if it's diagnosed, even if you haven't claimed it specifically. I don't think that's how this will work. I think you'll have to raise it individually. So I think it will be helpful in that. Now, one thing that they've been doing recently, too, on any kind of laws like this where it's kind of changing and liberalizing the laws where there's a greater benefit that's available now, is they won't retroactively, it'll only go back to the date of the change of the law. Let's put it that way, right? So if the law changes on, that's typically how it goes. They did it with NAMER with the Vietnam veterans, where you could go back to original claims. And I think that cost them probably too much money. And so you don't see it happen that often anymore. Typically you'll see it where, you'll get an effective date, like with the PACT Act, right? Like August 10th, 2022 is the earliest that you could ever get for something like that. So it'll be a similar deal there.
It goes back to, as you say, it goes back to the date that the actual interpretation of the law was passed.
Yeah, that would be my understanding, and certainly that would be my expectation, unless somehow, because it's going to be a separate claim, because my thought would be maybe they could tie it to whatever the primary disorder is if it's been pending longer, but we'll have to see kind of how it plays out. It's brand new, so we'll put it to the test at some point here pretty soon, I'm sure, and see what happens with that.
Man, I tell you what, it's unbelievable. I see some looseness becoming involved and some difference in amounts of percentage of claims. Is this an overall pattern or just on one or two specific items?
Are there any? Which ones are you talking about in particular? If you have any,
well, like hearing, for instance.
And the change in it? Are you talking about like the change in how they're compensating for it?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like for example, myself, I filed for a hearing several years ago, and I didn't get it. But then I've come back now and filed, and I was able to get it. So.
Okay. Got you.
You know. I didn't know whether some of the interpretations of doctoral information had maybe changed what they accept and what they don't accept, you know, or how serious it has to be.
Yeah, so it doesn't change anything on that, and certainly that kind of stuff is related to. There's certain avenues to get earlier effective dates if you've claimed things and been denied and then eventually get granted if there are certain errors that are made. But this doesn't change anything on that. It's going to be, I think it's really going to be related to orthopedic issues, things like diabetes as well, where you're going to see a limit, like for the obesity specifically, because that's what the court's ruling on in this most recent case. So you're going to be looking at things that are going to be limiting in mobility and causing those kinds of things where you have less like physical ability and therefore you may see weight gain, and then that could impact your ability to work in whatever field you're in. And so luckily now there's a way to get compensation for that in the same way as you can anything else.
So some of our guys that may have some injuries to their legs or ankles or feet and maybe slowed them down to the point where they weren't able to burn that excess weight off and they did gain some weight to the point of considered being obesity, then that might be compensated for now where it wouldn't have been in the past.
Right, exactly. In the past, you'd have had to prove in that you had a service-connected disorder that caused the weight gain that then resulted in another medical condition. So in this instance, you're kind of cutting out that back end. It's only a two-step process instead of three. So it will be secondary in every way because there's not going to be a way where it, for in my understanding of it, where there will be a like primary service connection as that being the primary disorder, but you will see it as a secondary disorder as it relates to, you know, like we said, the ones that really come to mind to me are like diabetes or like if you have knee issues, you know, things that like, or your back problems, different stuff like that. That's really going to limit your ability to move a little
bit
more.
Give us some names and addresses here. How you guys could be contacted over at Gardberg and Kimberly.
Yes, sir. All right. So you can give us a call at 251-343-1111, or you can find us online at www.gardberglaw.com. That's GardBerglaw. There's a contact us tab there, and you can reach out to us that way for an evaluation of your case.
Appreciate you being on with us tonight. Appreciate the new information and enlightening some of us about do's, don'ts, and what have you. So thank you, Nathan.
No worries. Happy to spend some time with y'all. Have a great night.
All right, buddy. And for more information, you can always check us out on scuttlebuttnetwork.com on the other side of the break.
Claxton.
I recently attended a viewing of the World War I film 1917.
I was surprised and pleased to see that it was still in theaters, considering that it opened over a month ago. The film, which has garnered accolades and nominations in a number of categories, portrays the story of a battlefield in northern France, where British Lance Corporal Tom Blake chooses his best friend, Lance Corporal Will Schofield, to join him on an assignment. Only later does the duo learn of the dangerous nature of the mission, to hand deliver a message to a colonel leading another nearby battalion in harm's way. Blake also learns that he is carrying mission vital messages to the fate of his brother, who is amongst those about to fight. In case you have not watched the film yet, and Top Cat encourages you to see it in the theaters, the protagonists have to cross no man's land into what they have been told are now abandoned German trenches to get to Mackenzie. The message, which must reach its destination by dawn the following day, is for the colonel to abort his troops' attack on his supposedly retreating Germans who are in reality lying in wait. The Germans have planned this deception for months. The lives of Mackenzie and his 1,600 men are at risk if the message does not make it through in time. The story is one of Blake and Schofield as soldiers in the biggest picture of the war, trying to stay alive, as friends, and as human beings who have their own motivations to survive on this mission. It is also a timely story in that just a couple of months after the events in the movie, the Bolsheviks, under the leadership of Vladimir Lenin, would seize control of Russia during the October Revolution. Lenin was a pathetic loser, much like another who would rise to dictatorial power in Germany, Adolf Hitler. In the late 1800s, as a precursor to modern community organizers such as Barack Obama, he attempted to enlist workers into the Marxist working class cause. He was arrested in 1895, jailed for a year, and exiled to Siberia for three. At the end of his exile, he fled to Western Europe, where he furthered his revolutionary activities. By 1903, he and his fellow travelers in London had established, and this is important, the Russian Social Democratic Workers' Party. Yep, that's right. For those of you who playing at home, good old Commie Lenin started out as an aw shucks democratic socialist. But it gets better from there. Things weren't necessarily moving along fast enough for some of the revolutionaries, so Lenin's Bolsheviks, who advocated militarism and violence, split from the peaceful commies who just wanted to vote their way to everyone else's money. Over the ensuing years, including 1917 and World War I, which Lenin opposed, he made a couple of ventures into the homeland, even being secreted in by the German government. In July of 1917, with the Tsar having been toppled and the government consisting of various regional subjects or committees, he was forced to flee to Finland, but his cause for, quote, peace, land, and bread was met with increasing popular support. I guess he couldn't call for student loans to be repaid or free birth control back then. In October, Lenin secretly returned to the capital, led the coup, and proclaimed Soviet rule. Lenin, of course, became the ruthless dictator of the Communist Empire that would become known as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or the USSR. I'm back in the USSR. You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the USSR. From their rise in 1917 to the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, the, quote, democratic socialists were responsible for the deaths of 15 million souls in their country, for various and sundry causes. Ironically enough, many died in Siberian gulags. I could give you the numbers who have died under the communist yoke worldwide in the same time period, but I'll leave you to do some of your own research. I am sure that it will make your fear of the coronavirus shrink, to say the least. So, let's fast forward to the good old US of A and the farce that is a Democratic Party primary. Okay, I have to ask, can they actually call themselves a Democratic Party? For real? It was over a year ago in my tirades destined for the dustbin in a tangled web that I called out Democratic activists such as AOC, the Squad, and ultimately Uncle Bernie as hardcore communists. Yes, you heard it here first over a year ago. I called them out as communists, not the Democrats that they are masquerading as. Surprisingly, it has taken the mainstream media and even the big names in the conservative talk realm, such as Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity, until just a couple of weeks ago to catch up with the proper label for the front runners in the Democratic Party, as they have contorted the English language in general. The Dems went from progressive in the early 1900s to liberals mid-century to progressives after the turn of the century, to socialists now. You just can't spit out the C word yet. And although their nomenclature has changed, their underlying dedication to communist policies has not. Where we believe in God, they pray to the government. We believe in the individual, where they enforce the collective. We prosper in free market capitalism, and they favor state control of everything. Since FDR's New Deal and the beginnings of the socialist welfare state, they have stealthily utilized the facade of the Democratic Party to advance their communist policies. It was only with the rise of the presidential candidate Bernie Sanders to front-runner status that the party was forced to publicly admit that they were a party of socialists. His fate as a candidate is still in the balance. However, history tells us that socialist/communist doesn't work. The Nazis were socialists, national socialists, which simply meant that their allegiance was to a national collective. Of course, their experiment failed because the free nations of the world rose up to defeat them in World War II, largely because of the support from the U.S. for England and the Allies. Democratic socialism, which is favored by AOC, Bernie, and the Democratic Party in the U.S., was the political system of Lenin and was focused on a more international, global system of uniting the workers of the world. Its progeny, the USSR, came to an end with the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. Again, it was the United States with Romulus Magnus at the helm, which confronted the bear and brought the Cold War and the Soviet dream of a communist utopia to an end. Reagan faced tremendous opposition from then-Democrats as he worked to defeat Moscow, with some, such as the bridge jumper himself, Teddy Kennedy, actively courting the Kremlin to seek Reagan's defeat. Fortunately, Reagan and freedom won out, and the shining city on the hill led the world to freedom once again, with the real possibility of Bernie Sanders, who loves the literacy indoctrination programs of Castro and chandeliers in the subways of Moscow, and according to the media, is favored by communist Vladimir Putin, attending to the nomination of the Democratic Party, one must wonder who will stand for freedom against the opposition regimes of the world the next time dictators dare to set the world on fire. Sanders? Pocahontas? Biden? The other Biden? The American haters in the squad? The traitorous Obamas who dump cash on the Iranian mullahs? I shudder to think how any of them would welcome their fellow travelers in with open arms to squash the freedom so many patriots have fought to defend. However, we have a choice to stem the tide of the commies. Donald Trump and the red-blooded American patriots who have defended this nation since before its founding. Remember, not only do we believe God, but we cling to our guns, and we know how to use them. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton, locked and loaded on the fire.
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program with the voice of the veterans for the veterans. 1-106.5 FM, streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton, Cal Walters, a couple of Marines, with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, I pulled that tirade out. That tirade was done over 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's almost, you could just switch a few names and it's the same thing that we're looking at today.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and the reason I pulled that out is because of, in particular, the gentleman who got the Democratic nomination for New York City mayor.
Right.
Who has come out as, he doesn't call himself, I think he calls himself a Democratic Socialist. But, you know, the policies that they advocate they're communists.
Totally communist.
You know, they're gonna get there, just like, you know, Lenin, they're gonna give them free food, they're gonna give them a free place to live. I think they're gonna make the transit in New York free, and they even want to open up government-run grocery stores. And it's just kind of odd to me that anybody would buy into that. I guess we have such a short memory that if you just go back and look historically, you know, the Soviet Union, they had government-run grocery stores, but the stores were mainly empty.
Right. They didn't have anything to sell.
Right. Well, And so I find it a little bit ironic that we're right back there. It's almost as if the Democrats are moving further and further down that road.
Well, it's you know, history always comes back around.
Well, right, especially if, you know, those who don't know history.
Yep. Well, we don't teach that anymore, Cal.
Oh, no, no, not at all. I mean, they're too busy bad-mouthing America and the things that America does. But thank goodness, and it's funny that, you know, in that tirade, even though it was 5 years ago, you mentioned Donald Trump in there, and we got him back in the White House, and thank goodness, because it looks like we're actually moving in the right direction in so many ways now, even with our military and our veterans. So,
amen.
A lot of good information on the show, but that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of SVN. We want to thank you for being with us. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those within harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state. Did you know life insurance rates are near?